Welcome to the Global Minority Report, where we bring you the latest news about the assault on Western Christian civilization. In a world where the traditional values of our ancestors are under attack, and the deeply rooted Christian man or woman are in the minority, it is time to hold up the banner of Jesus Christ with bravery and courage. Your hosts for the program are Pastor Thomas Robb and Mrs. Rachel Pendergraft. They are sending out a warning and serving as watchmen on the wall, but also bringing a message of hope and deliverance. Thank you, and enjoy the program.
Hello, this is Rachel Pendergraft coming to you from the Christian Revival Center in Harrison, Arkansas. We have been discussing the last few weeks about the modern view of Christianity and public life versus those of our American forefathers. Today we will be talking about Christianity and the law, the laws of the land. Now, to the modern church-state separatist, Christian ideas must be kept out of the public arena. They say they have no place in our courts or our legal system. Child molestation and rape charges have actually been overturned because judges have made reference to the Bible in sentencing, which was deemed unconstitutional, even though the United States Supreme Court has ruled on three separate occasions that Christianity is the law of the land and that America was founded as a Christian nation. Nevertheless, our modern judicial activists do not care what the Constitution says. They do not care about the long-standing rule of law and its basis upon Christian principles. They do not care about those things. They believe they know the right way to rule, and they have thrown aside the Word of God. Now, today, law students are told that Americans are supposed to use some sort of outdated religious book in the important area of legal justice? Absolutely not. They're told that the Bible is outdated, that it has no place. And our law students are coming out of the universities being prejudiced against the Word of God and our inclusion of it in decisions that weigh heavily upon our national life. Now, our national, state, local governments, did they require Christianity? Absolutely. They required elected officials to take an office of oath on the Bible. Courts of law also required Christian oaths. Now, Tennessee was typical of the early states, and they required, quote, the party or person to be sworn to lay his hand upon the holy evangelist of Almighty God in token of his engagement to speak the truth, as he hopes to be saved in the way and method of salvation pointed out in that blessed volume, and in further token that if he should swerve from the truth, he may be justly deprived of all the blessings of the Gospels, and be made liable to that vengeance which he has imprecated on his own head, and, after repeating the words, so help me God, shall kiss the holy Gospels as a sign of confirmation to said engagement. Unbelievable! Could you imagine a court of law today asking the people who are going to be up there to take an oath, to tell the truth, that they acknowledge publicly that if they lie, that if they swerve from the truth, that they acknowledge they will be deprived of the blessings of the gospel and be made liable for vengeance from God? Absolutely not. It would be on every front page newspaper in the country. And they would be talking about the backwards people of Tennessee. But no, Tennessee was just indicative of all of the other states. Now, today we're told that Christians have no right to impose laws on the rest of the nation that reflect their narrow biblical view of life. Never mind that, you know, these same people, they have no problem imposing their laws upon the nation. Instead of laws that are rooted in a God of absolutes, the laws are left to the whims of a degraded people. The fact is that the Bible formed the basis for civil laws, and without this foundation, our nation would never have rose to such greatness. Christians were involved in government. Today, many people, including some Christians, think that Christians should not be involved in government. A few days ago, some very nice people came and they knocked on my door and they left a few little tracts with me and very smugly told me that as we were going through some of the literature that they had to pass out, because, you know, I don't mind reading what other people have to say, but they take no part in government. They don't vote. They believe that government is of the world. Politics is somehow dirty. And they're just looking toward the light. They're looking toward a nice, safe place in heaven. They have nothing to do with politics. They have nothing to do with the laws of the land. They somehow feel that is of lesser importance. Somehow it's kind of tainted and so forth. And yet we know that the Holy Bible tells us that God brought us a message of the gospel, and that gospel message was the coming of the kingdom or government of God. And so the Bible is a very political book and is very, very foolish for so many Christians to believe that somehow they're going to get their hands dirty if they get involved in politics. The problem is, enough Christians have not been involved in politics. They have given up. They have eschewed their duty and have left it to other people. It's kind of like a black hole or an empty space. If something doesn't fill it, if light does not fill this empty space, then what do you have? You have darkness. Christianity is a faith of action. It is a faith of action, and our Christianity requires us to be proactive on behalf of the tenets and principles of the good book. Now, Christians were involved in government in the early days of this nation. Not only were they involved in government, but government was grounded and rooted in Christianity. Now, many of the early states and the early constitutions, they only allowed Christians to serve in public office. Now, here is an example from Delaware's Constitution of 1776. It states, "Everyone appointed to public office must say, I do profess faith in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Ghost, one God and blessed forevermore. And I do acknowledge the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be given by divine inspiration." Over the years, the states would eliminate denominational religious tests, but the provision of Christian faith for governmental leaders was continued. Now, here's another one from Tennessee. Tennessee Constitution of 1834 said that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust within this state. Now, if you're in law school, that might be all your professor shares with you. And, ha-ha, there, it says it right there. No religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office or public trust within this state. There you have it. Enough said. The book is closed. The deal is done. Christianity has no place in government. But, let's continue. What else does it say? No person who denies the being of God or a future state of rewards and punishments shall hold any office in the civil department of this state. Now, don't let some follower of Mohammedism or Judaism or Islam or Hinduism or some of these other strange pagan faiths out there convince you into believing that their use of the word God instead of Jesus Christ just meant that they were deists, and that just as long as you believe in there is some sort of a supernatural being out there in the universe somewhere, this is inclusive of all religions. No, it is not inclusive of all religions. It only included Jesus Christ and his doctrine and principles of Christianity. Now, they recognize the jurisdictional separation of church and state, but also realize the complete removal of God and government of godly principles from public life is not possible, and in fact would be destructive to the nation. Now, the separation of church and state, we know it doesn't, that wordage doesn't exist. It was a letter that was written by Thomas Jefferson after the First Amendment was actually put into place. He had some questions from the Danbury Baptists. They were concerned about a national denomination taking over the government, and he used words, a wall of separation, that was peculiar to the wording that their pastors used in their congregation. And what he told them, in essence, was that the government should have no right to infuse or to come in and intrude upon the particular facets of the denominations, but that in nowhere dispels the overall Christian principles that our government were based upon and that Thomas Jefferson stood behind 100%. Now, in 1777, Congress approved the importation of 20,000 Bibles because their supply from England had been cut off. And they recognized, quote, "The use of the Bible is so universal and its importance so great." Now, a few years later, in 1782, Congress officially endorsed the printing of the Aitken Bible, which was the first English language Bible published in North America. And, of course, we know, we've heard about the famous election sermons, a long tradition of election sermons in this nation in which the pastor, instead of being hauled off to some sort of Internal Revenue Service court of law, some government court, telling the preachers who are out there instructing their congregants upon the Word of God that they have violated some sort of law of the land, instead, the pastors fervently talked about the issues that were important during the elections and told the men and women in their congregation, in their tutelage, those that they were called to the flock they were called to shepherd and to oversee, they helped them decide between the important issues and to find just and righteous people to rule over them, because they knew that without just and righteous men in government, that our nation could not stand. And today we have seen that our nation is steadily falling very fast. Okay, my friends, we are out of time. We are coming to you from the Christian Revival Center in Harrison, Arkansas. We rely on your tithes and offerings to keep this broadcast on the air. If you like the broadcast, please help us out. Help us stay on the air. There's an address at the end of this, and you will be hearing from Pastor Rob next week. And until then, until I talk to you again, this is Rachel Pendergraf saying to keep the faith, stand up for our Western Christian civilization, and stand up for the tremendous, tremendous things that our people have brought to the world, and stand up for God. Because if you do not stand up for your faith, then there are plenty of people out there that will be standing in line to knock it down. So lift up the standard. Be strong in the faith and do your duty as a Christian. That's what the Bible commands.
You have been listening to the Global Minority Report, coming to you from the Christian Revival Center in Northwest Arkansas. For a sample copy of the Torch newsletter published by Thomas Robb Ministries, please write to P.O. Box 354, Bergman, Arkansas 72615. You can also check out our website, www.globalminorityreport.com. This broadcast is made possible by your tithes and offerings. Thank you again for listening, and remember, the Bible says to love your God and to love your people.